It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. But first, Arlen Suderman, chief economist with StoneX, on a deal with China.
I'm skeptical of that. I think that'll be renegotiated. For now, they may say 25 million metric tons, but we'll see. And perhaps they will, if it's politically expedient for President Xi to do so in order to get the concessions he's seeking from President Trump. If that happens, of course, it means rearranging the supplies with Brazil, weakening basis in Brazil, strengthening in the United States, shifting around to who buys where, etc. But for now, I'm skeptical. I'm pricing in expectations of perhaps 12 million metric tons that we see, but it could be as high as 25. That'll have a big impact on next year's balance sheet.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, big day coming on Tuesday. We'll get a couple of reports. What will you be watching for?
Yeah, relatively subdued session today. Corn futures down half a dozen or so. Wheat was mixed, plus or minus 2 to 6 cents. And then for soybeans, pretty much danced around steady here right into the close, it seems. And really, that's in anticipation of the big numbers due out tomorrow. So it'll be the March 1 U.S. grain stocks and then the 26-27 marketing year prospective plantings report. Generally speaking, it looks like the average estimates for corn, soybeans, and wheat in terms of the grain stocks is still higher year on year. I mean, it's tightened up a little bit here and there, no doubt, but still generally higher. So the average guesstimate for corn sitting at about 9.1 billion bushels. That's still 957 higher than last year, 957 million. That is higher than last year, so bigger crop. Soybeans, average guesstimate, still 152 million bushels above last year. And then for wheat, up about 58 million bushels relative to last year if we come in at the average. So bigger numbers in terms of grain stocks on a year-on-year basis. In terms of the prospective plantings reports, fairly decent ranges in terms of expectations, but on average, the guesstimate for corn at this point is sitting around 94.371 million acres. And for context, last year it was about 98.8. So that's basically around a 4.4 million acre decline in acreage expected. For soybeans, the flip side. So the average guesstimate right now is about 85.5-ish million acres versus about 81.25 last year, which is a decline or an increase in acreage of about 4.334 million acres. So roughly about 4.33 million acres higher. So 4.4 million acres lower for corn, average guesstimate, and 4.3 and change higher acreage estimates for soybeans. So nearly a push there on the seesaw between corn and soybeans. And then for the all wheat last year, the acreage was 45.33, give or take, a million acres. And this year we're looking for about 44.75. Let's say 44.75, which is about 540,000 acres more than or less than last year. So less than last year. So smaller acreage numbers for corn, smaller acreage numbers for wheat, and about the same for cotton. Let's not forget about cotton market. Last year, acreage was put at about just shy of 9.3. And this year, the average guesstimate's about 9.22. So, you know, not too far from there. And that's about roughly, I don't know, 54,000 acres less than last year. So we'll see how the numbers actually come out. This has been one of the key reports that traders look for. And then obviously we'll get a more fine-tuned look at that at the end of June. But this will be the prospective planning reports, and we'll absorb that information when it comes out tomorrow. Zooming out, though, a bit on what's been impacting those markets one by one. You know, for corn, it's still the fertilizer and crop input costs. They've been a key bullish influence, could be discouraging any kind of acreage, you know, corn acreage that's at the margin, especially for operations that didn't pre-book their fertilizer needs. So anybody who was waiting for the last minute to kind of gauge things, that may not have worked out so well. with respect to the big pushes to the upside that we've seen in the fertilizer costs. Crude oil strength is adding to that, right? Diesel prices are also adding to that part of the equation. Export demands are still solid. The USDA reported, I think, 145,000 metric ton corn sale to an unknown destination. So positive news there. And then in Brazil, looking at one of our bigger competitors, they've had below normal precipitation, which is still a bit of a concern for the Safrinha corn crop. That's going to be adding some support. And then also on the friendly side of the equation is the fund money. They still seem to be on the, or wanting to be on the long side of the equation. Things to kind of look out for just a bit here. The EPA biofuel ruling was mostly neutral for corn. South American production is still a mixed influence. We'll see how that plays out. Again, weather contingent there. And then just broader macroeconomic catalyst to the market. You've got a bit of a risk-off pressure from the equities, the dollar, and just general money flow. So we'll see how that plays out. In terms of soybeans, soybean oil is still the main driver right now. Obviously, we know about the energy equation and how that's helping to propel crude oil prices and diesel prices. And with that will come the energy-based commodities following suit for the most part. Doesn't always happen, but for the most part here, it seems like that's the correlation. So bean oil, the driver in soybeans right now with the big energy prices. The EPA biofuels ruling was supportive, but not as bullish as some had hoped, but still wasn't bearish, so that's a good thing. Similar to corn, you got the high fertilizer and crop input costs that are, you know, basically providing some kind of underlying support for anybody on the margin there. Who hadn't already booked their fertilizer needs. If anybody could switch out of soybeans into something more profitable, perhaps it'll get done. But again, that's more at the margins. And then the old crop demand has improved, but stocks are still burdensome. Like we mentioned, we'll get those numbers for the ending stocks numbers tomorrow. That'll give us a more clear picture. In terms of some of the clearly bearish elements for soybeans, you got the export competitiveness that still matters, and Brazil still has an edge in terms of pricing. And then China trade headlines, they remain, you know, bearish at the moment, even with that. I think it's scheduled for mid-May meeting between President Trump and President Xi. Still, you know, until a deal is done, a deal is not done. So I think it would be nice to see more consistent clarity in terms of what's going to go on with soybeans being purchased potentially by Brazil. And then in terms of wheat, you know, I guess it's more of a mixed bag there. We've got the persistent drought in parts of the Western Plains. That is supportive. You got fund positioning, which seems to be leaning towards the bull side of the equation, which is friendly for the market. The technical tone has improved, looking at the charts, especially in the winter wheat. Some of the more neutral elements, you've still got the U.S. weather. That's, you know, obviously going to be a key market driver. And again, that persistent drought is leaning towards the friendlier side. So as long as there's no forecast to come along that could change that rather quickly, or, you know, I should say in the intermediate time frame, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. And then you've got the big global supply pressure. So there's plenty of wheat, generally speaking, in the rest of the world. And I think that's one key headwind for the wheat market to have any superly, you know, maybe keeping it from, let's just say, launching into new high range, all right, absent any kind of surprise tomorrow in the prospective plantings report.
Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading. All right, Bob, Packers paying a little higher for cash trade last week. So what's ahead here for the protein sector?
Yeah, nice little pop to the upside in the cattle market. More pressure here in the hogs with the Aprils and Junes down 20 to 30 points or so. In terms of some of the bigger factors that are affecting the markets for the hogs, you know, the USDA hogs and pigs report, in my opinion, was friendly. All hogs and pigs reported 100.4% of last year. That's 100 spot for breeding herd at 98.5, market hogs at 100 spot 6. So that was versus the year ago levels. And I think generally friendly relative to expectations there. Summer supply expectations are still getting a little bit tighter. There is some reports out there of disease risk. I think that's more of a supportive supply factor. That PRRS was specifically cited as an ongoing issue, and that could trim further production. Pork demand improved late last week. On the flip side of the equation, a little bit of headwinds from current production that's still running above last year, and the cash hogs and lean hog index still remain a little bit on the softer side. So I think there's some pressure from there. On the more neutral side of the equation, you got the managed money that's reducing its long, but it's still supportive, I think, overall. And technically, the market may have turned a bit higher. So a little bit of a more supportive look in terms of just the technical action in the hog market. As for cattle, well, we came into this week with the northern cash trading around 235 to 238. Kansas also traded a little bit higher later in the week, so a stronger cash tone there. So that's a friendly way to welcome the new week. Beef demand is supportive. I think the Easter-related beef demand has been deemed as pretty seasonally strong, and the box beef posted some solid late week gains last week. So that's also friendly. Spec money, the big funds, they remain on the bull side of the equation, so that looks supportive, and also technically I think the market looks okay. In terms of some of the things that are on the bearish side of the equation, you got carcass weights that are remaining heavy, which we already know about. And there's some bearish outside factors, I think, that maybe aren't being completely discounted in the market quite yet. For example, increased Argentinian beef imports, the risk of demand erosion, that could be a negative consideration just from higher prices where they're at. And then on a macroeconomic scale, you know, relatively weak stock markets. So just in terms of the perception of your personal wealth out there in the consumer land, that could lean bearish. And then also in terms of the cattle on feed report recently, that basically showed that, you know, cattle on feed remains historically tight, but also that the market ready inventories are still large. You got some front end availability there in terms of the calendar that's basically offsetting a bit of the bullishness from just the overall cattle on feed numbers, meaning that there's more marketable supply relatively available in the near term here. So we'll see how that all plays out. Again, we get the big number about prospective plantings tomorrow for the corn, wheat, and soybeans. So in as much as that could have an impact on the input costs for the cattle industry and for the hog industry, we'll see if that can have an effect on these markets also.
Yeah, Bob Maurer's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. We're talking with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading. He's in Chicago. Bob, how do we track you down?
Yeah, you can pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053. If I can't get to the phone, I'm likely chatting with a customer. So just leave a message real quick, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Otherwise, you can reach me via email at bmaurer@manducatrading.com. That's B-M-A-U-R-E-R @manducatrading.com. Or come visit the website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Prices received by growers in February rose overall 12%, per USDA's latest agricultural prices report. The month-over-month increase was fueled by a 14% rise in what crop producers received price-wise, an almost 3% increase in the prices oilseed growers received for their commodity in February, plus a 30% rise in prices from the previous month for vegetable and melon growers, offset a 1.8% decrease in prices received for feed grain farmers. The livestock production index also rose from the prior month at 2.7%. All categories reflected month-over-month gains, led by a 4.5% increase in what dairy growers received price-wise in the latest report. Meanwhile, producers in February paid 0.6% more for inputs and services, with higher prices for cattle, feeder pigs, and diesel offsetting lower prices for nitrogen and concentrates. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.